Wondering if you should stay in Illinois or move out of state? Get your copy of Scott Tucker's book, Escape Illinois, Should I Stay or Should I Go? Get your complimentary copy at retirementdakota.com.
Investment advisory services are made available through AE Wealth Management, LLC, a registered investment advisor.
Good morning, Steve Dale's Pet World on WGN, and it's that time of year for the Lincoln State Cat Club Cat Show. It is just around the corner. Some exciting news about this cat show, too. And Jeremy Bastarash, who is the show chief bottle washer. What's your title?
I'm the whatever they need me to be, but formerly known as the show manager and club president of Lincoln State Cat Club.
By the way, what is a cat club? I don't know that I've ever asked that question before.
Yeah, so a cat club is nothing more than a social club in the IRS's eyes, and we are a charter of the Cat Fanciers Association, so the national entity, and we simply represent the association at a regional level, and our club's goal is to put on cat shows, and then to utilize those cat shows ultimately for the benefit of charitable, ideally feline-oriented organizations like the Morris Animal and yours.
The Every Cat. It's not mine, but I know what you mean.
Well, yes, the one you're associated with.
Yeah.
Sorry.
That's okay. The Every Cat Health Foundation. So Morris Animal Foundation funds studies for a better understanding health of dogs and cats and horses and other animals, including wild animals, as well, including funding studies of wild animals. The Every Cat Health Foundation, whose board I've been on for now, can you believe it, over 20 years. This organization is responsible for pretty much everything we know about cats, funding cat health studies, and then educating the public about those studies. And we'll talk about education in just a little bit. So when is the big cat show?
The cat show this year is going to be February 22nd, 21st and 22nd. That's a Saturday and Sunday. Public can arrive from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. on both days.
And
they're going to see the same thing both days, but just different judges.
Okay. And the show is in St. Charles?
It is at the King County Fairgrounds in St. Charles, Illinois.
I think that's 500 Randall Road. And
525.
I was close. I wasn't too far off. All right. So let's talk about what goes on at it. What does go on at a cat show? For those who have not been to a cat show, I suggest you haven't yet lived. What happens at a cat show?
So the primary goal at a cat show is to have people show up with their cats, and their cats are judged by a panel of judges. Each judge is going to see every single cat that enters that show, and that judge is going to have their own interpretation of the cat that they're looking at and score it accordingly against what the cat should be, or a breed standard, which is just a written statement that says the cat should look like this. That's the biggest part that's going to happen, and that lets those judges compare every cat to another cat, even if they're different breeds.
And there's a lot more going on at the cat show, which we'll talk about. But I want to talk about these judging standards. First of all, how does a judge become a judge at a cat show?
Oh, it's a long and arduous process. I went through it for about a year, year and a half, and then my time prevented me from continuing any further in that avenue. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of reading, a lot of studying, and a lot of hands-on work at cat shows. In fact, many cat shows, you'll see training judges that will be kind of shadowing the licensed judges and putting their hands on specific breeds so that they can get familiar with that breed, particularly when they have a chance to handle multiple examples of a specific breed.
And you said it's all based on a written standard, which there is for every breed. So the judge kind of memorizes the standard for all the cat breeds and then says, this Siamese is too narrow in the withers. I don't know. I'm making that up. Or this Maine Coon has too big of a head. And I'm not talking about the ego. I'm talking about literally the cat's head. I mean, How do they know?
Yeah, so it's practice. It is studying. It's rote memorization of those standards. That said, they all still have access, and most of them will bring copies of the breed standards. Nowadays, it's more in digital format, but they used to carry around this big 3 or 4 inch thick book with all the standards in it and the rules and all that. Now they have most of them registered, memorized, and then they have, you know, these digital copies on their phones that they can just pull up if they can't remember the exact wording to understand how to interpret a particular feature. For a cat, maybe they a breed they haven't seen in a bit. But yeah, they're looking at specific features. You know, the ears should be high and tall on the head, or the eyes should be oval shaped or almond shaped or lemon shaped. Each standard has a different way of terming how the cat should look.
You know, one of the questions that I get a lot, and I suspect you've heard it too, regarding cat shows is, well, I know my cat at home. I get the plumber coming over and the cat hides. Or I take out the carrier and the cat is in another county. How in the world do you get these cats? I mean, you're forcing them in the carrier and you're putting them in front of the public. And can you talk about, I've never seen myself, and I've been to at this point in time, aside from the Lincoln State cat shows, I've been to many cat shows in my life. I've not seen yet a terrified cat. How is that the case that these cats actually demonstrate that they're cheek rubbing and depositing their pheromones against the cages, they're purring, they come out and they play happily with whatever toy, if the judge offers a toy, and many judges do, or a scratching post, they come out and they scratch on the scratching post. How is it these cats are so social?
So it's a matter of exposure therapy, ultimately, and that's what this comes down to, acclimatization to this new environment. And what a lot of us do from a breeder perspective is we'll bring cats that we intend to show, we'll bring them out as young as we can. And with a cat show, we can enter cats as young as 4 months old. And we try and get them out at that early age. They tend to be more pliable to new situations. We bring them out and see how they react. Now, oftentimes that first show is going to be tough for any kitten that we bring out. Some handle it better than others. Some take a couple of shows before they kind of settle in and like, okay, this isn't that big a deal. I get these different people now petting me and praising me for the beautiful cat I am. And they go along with it. There are a few that are just like, you know what? This is not for me. They never really come out of that shell. And in those cases, it's okay. We don't bring them out anymore. We keep them in house and they go into their breeding career without the show piece. But we do try and get our animals that we're going to be breeding out into the shows to make sure that the cats we're breeding are breeding to the standard, that we're not just breeding because, oh, it looks good in my house. We want to know that the cats that we're breeding are breeding to a normalized standard. Otherwise, we can't work together as breeders if we're breeding for different features.
Well, and I want to also talk about the features aren't always physical. Some of them are the personality of a specific breed, which also explains why so many of these cats do really well. I want to talk about that when we get back. When we come back is what I mean to say. And also some of the cat breeds, including breeds you may never have heard of before that you can see at the Lincoln State Cat Show. We'll be right back on WGN. He is in charge of the Lincoln State Cat Club and the Lincoln State Cat Show, where he is the show manager, Jeremy Bastarash, on WGN. And we're talking about cat shows. We're talking about specifically the Lincoln State Cat Show and how these cats are able to do so well. You know, I mean, you think about, okay, dogs, of course, they're going to do well. Well, the truth is, some cats don't. Some dogs don't, actually, when exposed to dog shows. So hopefully, anyway, they're not continued to be brought into dog show settings because they just don't like it. Cats, when they're exposed very young, as you point out, become socialized to people, which is a good thing anyway, as well as to the commotion of the cat show and the noise and smells of other cats and sights of other cats and sights of people going, many people very often going by. And they're
intact cats. right?
Yeah.
We have cats that are not altered, and that heightens their awareness of these pheromones that are existing within the show hall. They're picking up on that.
So that's
part of keeping our cleanliness, not only of the cats themselves, but the enclosures that we put them in, especially the communal enclosures in between every cat being caged. That cage is swabbed out, cleaned out by, usually we have young people come in and help us at the cat show with that activity, and it gets them introduced to the cat show as well.
Oh, that's great. And it's better than to have a dalliance going on between cats that you don't want to have happen. There's none of that. There's none of that reported in the Inquirer about the cat show. So let me ask you another question, though, having to do with temperament. Every breed, listen, you go to an animal shelter, and I'm sure you'd agree with me, Jeremy, and adopt a cat, a domestic short hair or mixed breed or whatever you want to call the cat, a moggy, I think, if you're in Australia, whatever you want to call the cat. That's a wonderful, wonderful thing. And the good news is that animal shelters across the country and in Chicago in general are having a better, more success than ever in adopting cats out. Dogs in general, more difficult to adopt out these days than cats, which is interesting and wonderful if you happen to be a cat lover. However, pedigree cats or purebred cats are bred also, aside for the looks that we talked about earlier, for personality as well, correct?
100%. Speaking from personal experience, we have taken in cats from other catteries and found their temperaments not to be particularly favorable. And so these end up being, in at least one instance, where it was a situation where we just opted not to continue on breeding that animal and just altered it and found her a forever home. And she lived out a happy life after that and is still out there enjoying that life. But temperament is a critical component that is inherited, and you can kind of work through it for maybe a generation, but you better hope that the mate to that cat has a wonderful temperament, and hope that feature carries on to the progeny.
Mm-hmm. What breed do you breed?
So we currently do Cornish Rex. We did Lykoi for a short period of time, but the Cornish Rex is kind of near and dear to our heart.
Tell me about both those breeds.
Yeah, so they're kind of polar opposites as far as looks and traits. The Lykoi has the on and guard coats, but no undercoat. So it looks very sparsely coated. When you look at their face, it kind of has a naked appearance, especially around the eyes. These are areas that are typically only covered by the undercoat on normal cats. So on the Lykoi, you simply see skin. And that gives it a kind of a grizzly appearance, and you add in these white hairs, particularly noticeable in a black cat, that are interspersed, that kind of give that terrier coarse coat kind of appearance, and it just gives it this wild look. And they call them the werewolf cat for that reason. It's a kind of a standard size cat, medium to large. They tend to be rather muscular. And just very goofy animals from a social perspective. We did keep two of them as pets for ourselves. Now the Cornish, on the other hand, it has the opposite hair trait. So instead of the on and guard coat, it only has the undercoat. Now the undercoat is very fine fur. So when you pet a Cornish Rex, it is unbelievably soft. Not that the Lykoi isn't soft, and it's surprisingly soft, but when you feel any other cat and then you feel a Cornish, it feels like Angora.
And they're kind of like, they've been called, I know, the Greyhound or the Whippet, of the cat world. You could see many, many breeds, what, 50 breeds or near that, at the Lincoln State Cat Show. You can also visit vendors that you have cat toys there that you otherwise cannot easily find online or anywhere else. But I want to talk about the education ring. So I have been speaking at this cat show probably for 20 years, and the person I often had on the radio who supported education in the first place, Dale Marsh, passed away this past year. And I know you're naming the education ring for Dale. And on Saturday, I will be there on the 21st of February talking about the latest in cat health from the Every Cat Health Foundation, including the latest on feline infectious peritonitis, good news, and also on heart disease that is actually perhaps the most common cause of death in cats, but maybe no more. Good news there, too. That's at 1 o'clock. And at 1:45, I'll be talking about the science of pheromones. You mentioned pheromones earlier. What are they? What aren't they? How can they help with your cat's behavior issues or not? And a new pheromone product, all of that. But in addition, maybe what's most important to me is the fact that you're honoring this great lady who supported education about cats for so many years, and was with the Morris Animal Foundation for a long time too.
Yeah, Dale was a key member of the Lincoln State Cat Club. She and the other member that we lost this past year, Jean Beltran, they both served as presidents of Lincoln State Cat Club during its time. They were both with the club for decades, which is a lot more than I can say. I've only been with the club for four years now. So I've got a long way to go to get anywhere near the good that the both of them did for the club and for Cat Fancy as a whole.
Well, and there's so much more happening at the show. We're just out of time. But again, February 21 and 22, Lincoln State Cat Club Cat Show, Kane County Fairgrounds, 550 Randall Road, is that correct, in St. Charles?
520.
I'll get it right eventually. 525 Randall Road, that is in St. Charles. You can learn more on my website, stevedale.tv, or how can people learn more about the show?
Find Lincoln State Cat Club on Facebook. You can find more about it there. Come see Cat Agility. We have that this
year.
Wow. You're going to see cats racing around.
On an agility course, just like dogs do. I wish we had more time. We don't. Thank you so much, Jeremy. Hola. You thinking about going to escape the cold to sunny Mexico? Well, you can do a lot of things in sunny Mexico. And one thing I know many people I know have done, I've not done it on purpose, but I know many people that have seen a dolphin show there. Well, no more. Mexico has just passed legislation that prohibits the use of dolphins in shows or entertainment of any kind unrelated to conservation. The law also bans the breeding of dolphins in captivity. Currently, about 350 dolphins are held in 30 dolphinariums and marine entertainment facilities in Mexico. Now, here's the thing that will happen. They can remain in captivity as these dolphins just set free, like born free. These animals, in many cases anyway, won't be able to do well in the wild. They're just too habituated to people, and they are accustomed to being fed by human beings, etc. They may not know what to do in the wild. So they will be kept where they are now, or what are called sea pen sanctuaries. So they're sanctuaries that are closed off, but in the open ocean, if that makes any sense. So some fish that they may or may not eat can get in, but they will be cared for. They'll get veterinary care, etc. And welfare standards until their natural deaths for these animals will be considered. No doubt most facilities have done their best to care for captive dolphins. I don't doubt that. If nothing else, because there happens to be a large dollar amount associated with each individual dolphin. So if something happens to one of the dolphins, any of these dolphinariums have to pay a lot of money. But there are still welfare issues and complaints about the treatment that have come from both tourists as well as residents of Mexico. Captive dolphins, we know, often, not always, but often, suffer from chronic stress. And that leads to exhibiting abnormal behaviors and makes them more susceptible to disease as a result. Mexico now joins Costa Rica and Chile as the three Latin American countries to ban dolphin shows and captive breeding of cetaceans. In Spain, while wild animals continue to be banned from circuses, dolphinariums continue to operate as they do in the United States. Now, if you go to Mexico, you can still see dolphins. You can do it the best way possible, I believe, and that's simply to go out into a boat, go out into the open ocean, and if you are lucky, you can spot wild dolphins. That's the way to do it. Laura Flamian is the administrator of DuPage County Animal Services with a big, big, big special event coming up that I promise we will get to. But Laura, first, congratulations. For those who have not seen it, you have a new and vastly improved facility, huh?
We do. We doubled our space. We went from about 9,700 square feet of a old, sad-looking bunker in the ground to a beautiful 20,000 square foot facility that's warm and welcoming and inviting to the public.
And it has to be inviting to animals, too, because you are, I believe by law, open admission because you're a municipal facility. That's the word I was looking for. And municipal facilities, generally, that is the case. Explain what that means.
Yeah, we practice open admission policies, which means we take all domestic species, regardless of age, breed, behavior, medical condition. So quite often we're taking the animals that other shelters and rescues will turn away. We are literally the last stop usually for a lot of these pets.
And
we're also required to take a lot of our populations found pets from outside, and then we also house court case animals.
What is the most common reason now for relinquishment of dogs and relinquishment of cats?
Yeah, so the most common reason we're seeing, and it's typically a hybrid, right, is financial insecurity. And that financial insecurity then leads to housing changes, and then housing changes lead to, you know, maybe I'm moving into a place that doesn't allow pets, or I can't afford the pet deposit and the pet rent, or my pet doesn't get along with other pets, and my family already has pets that I'm moving in with. So financial insecurity tends to be the underlying factor for it all, and then that leads to more complicated reasons why people can't keep their pets.
Mm-hmm. The media for a time, and still it happens a bit, has been reporting that, well, these are pandemic pets, and all these people purchased or adopted animals throughout the pandemic, and now they're just giving up those pets. You know, I have not found that to be the case. It is more like what you said, having to do one way or another with the economy and the reasons why people always gave up their pets, including behavior issues and moving. Unfortunately, I don't know why they don't take their pet with them, but all of those things that have always been also remain issues.
Yeah, I agree with you. I don't think this is just a pandemic pet issue. And yes, we saw a lot of people get pets during that time. But a lot of the people who are calling us, talking about surrendering their pets to us, don't want to. You know, this is a tough decision. We try to show empathy and we try to be not judgmental and be a place where they feel like they can talk about what the problem is, talk honestly about their pet's behavior so that we can find the best outcome for that pet, the best placement. It's not an easy decision for people, and it's not something they want to do, but they're feeling in a tough position, and we want to be there for them.
I think that's something we have to get over as a society. It's sort of, I think, both ends of the stick. A part of me is judgmental, and it's like, oh my God, I could never give up my animal. However, you're not in their shoes. And by and large, not only do the studies support what you just said, my experience does for what my experience is worth, and that most people truly do not want to give up their animal, but they feel their back is up against the wall. Now, sometimes if you provide a resource they didn't know about, then they're able to keep that animal, which is wonderful, but that's not always a possibility.
It's not, and we spend a lot of time talking to people and counseling them before they even bring a pet to us to see if we can get them resources to keep their pet, whether it's affordable medical care, helping with food. But even then, you know, we just had an example of a pet that we helped with medical care, and then when it came time to pick that pet back up from us, he said, you know what, we've now gone a couple days without having our dog in the home, and we're realizing that, you know, it's less stressful on us, and maybe could you please just rehome him, right? So sometimes we're trying, and it doesn't work, but it doesn't mean we're going to stop trying, right? We still keep having these conversations and trying to figure out how we can keep pets with families, but the reality is it's tough out there, and yeah, we say we would never give up our pet until you're in that really tough position, and you start to realize it's more complicated.
Yeah, yeah, oftentimes it is. Do you provide, so what kind of resources, I know you do, so let me ask it another way. What kind of resources do you provide for people, such as you mentioned pet food?
Yeah, so we get a fair amount of food donated, so we're always trying to pass that along to either our local food pantries, or we've reserved some food here for people that like to pick up from the shelter. We have found that it's more convenient for people to pick it up at the human food pantry so that they're not making two separate trips and wasting gas money. So we're having our officers drop food off. We host free and low-cost vaccine clinics, microchipping clinics. We have a spay-neuter program for low-income residents to get their pets fixed, especially cats. We're working on our big focus for 2026 is getting more cats spayed and neutered. And we have a diversion program for medical care where we triage what might be happening with that pet and partner with local veterinary hospitals, or if it's something we can do in our clinic here to try to help people out.
Which is absolutely wonderful. So congratulations with all of that. I want to talk a little about cats. So historically, it was really tough at one point in time to adopt out cats. But now, I don't know, you'll have to tell me about DuPage. Throughout much of the country, it's cats that are finding homes more than dogs, especially large dogs. Is that true for you too?
That is true. I mean, cats are the largest species that we take in next to dogs. But when you think about the ease of bringing a cat home and people trying to balance working and social lives, you don't have to sometimes rush to let the cat out, right, where people are thinking about dogs, and dogs require a little bit of extra time and attention that's different than cats. And then especially large breed dogs, you know, they tend to eat more, so they cost more. They require a little bit more space sometimes, higher energy. And that's not to say that kittens don't require a lot of work. They do. But from a space perspective and time and attention perspective, we do see more people leaning towards cats and smaller breed dogs.
Yeah, yeah.
And cats are what are coming in the shelters right now. We don't have packs of Shih Tzus running around the Chicagoland area, but we certainly do have a lot of outdoor cats.
Well, I'll talk about that, and I'll talk about why you don't necessarily take in all the outdoor cats. And I want to talk about a special event coming up. We will do all of that when we come back on WGN. Laura Flamian is the Chief Administrator. Did I just add a word to your title? DuPage County Animal Services. Laura, again, congratulations on everything you are doing. Do you feel that sometimes, tell me the truth, that because you're out there, DuPage County, you don't get the attention that you might otherwise get if you were in the heart of Chicago?
Well, we have definitely said that, yes. No, and I will speak the truth. I have heard that we tend to not have as many maybe rescue partners pulling from us or the attention that we need because we're not in maybe the level of crisis that Chicago is in, and I understand that. We are also very fortunate here to be supported by elected officials and our community in a way that allows us to expand our programs and try new things to help increase our live release rate and help pets. So I'm very fortunate that we have all those resources available to us, and I recognize that might not be the case everywhere. But that doesn't mean that we don't have great animals that sometimes just need a new audience, or, you know, we're still always looking to expand our rescue partners, and we hope people will come out to the suburbs and adopt from us.
Yeah, and I cannot wait to see the facility, which I will soon. We'll talk about that in a second, but first we were talking cats. So, yes, cats do take up less space than most or many dogs do. They don't necessarily need the attention. However, they absolutely do need attention, so I don't want to go there with that, because they really do need our companionship. I would suggest every bit as much, if not sometimes different, than dogs do. And you were talking about outdoor cats. Well, if the outdoor cat has been outdoors, to the best that you can tell, its entire life, and is a part of a colony, I presume you're a proponent of trap, neuter, and vaccinate and return, rather than put that cat that's not socialized, has been outdoors forever, into a shelter situation. But a kitten, different story.
Absolutely. And it's sometimes hard to know what to do with the cats that are in that kind of gray zone. But if we see that this is most definitely a community cat, an outdoor cat, feral cat, whatever people want to call it, we are big proponents for trap, neuter, vaccinate, and return back to the location. And we talk to people about that all the time, and we're very grateful for partners like Feral Fixers out here in the suburbs that does a lot of that work to try to get our outdoor cat populations under control. Where we get stuck is these cats that are in the gray zone, right? Like, they come into the shelter and maybe they're severely under-socialized because they were in a hoarding situation, so they've never lived outside, but they're not presenting with highly adoptable type personalities, or they come in and they're exhibiting behavior that's just so shut down or scared or, you know, a little bit even fractious, because they're scared to be in a shelter, right? Maybe if we get them out of the shelter, they'd act differently. And those are the ones that get a little tricky, that we have a couple different programs that try to help those cats out.
Excellent that you do. I know some of those programs. Before we run out of time, speaking of programs, I want to talk about a program that you have coming up on March 1st.
Yeah, so we're excited to be welcoming you here to the shelter.
Yay!
Right?
Yes! Yes, the first time since you've renovated, so I'm long overdue. And it's a benefit for the DuPage County Animal Services. Steve Dale has not taken in any of this money. It is all for you. So the seating is limited to 60 people. I'll be talking about a new thought on preventing dog bites, having to do with this book I have out now called Ask the Dog, because here's what happens. Laura, you're walking down the street, and let's say you have a kid with you. I don't know if you have young kids. If not, pretend you're borrowing one. And you're walking down the street, and you see a dog you don't know, and you've been taught this. You teach kids this, and your grandparents, your great-grandparents, they were all taught this. Before you pet the dog, ask, can I pet your dog?
Stop, right, yep.
And that's good. That's a good thing. However, here's what we forgot. We forgot to ask the dog. So all too often, the dog's person will say, yeah, sure, go ahead and pet the dog, or even I want you to pet the dog. And the dog, for whatever reason, at that point in time, does not want to interact for any number of potential reasons. So I suggest dog bite numbers, which are at a record high, would go down if we paid more attention to what dogs are telling us and better understand what dogs are telling us. Learn dog as a second language. But above and beyond that, I think it's about time that dogs have the right, and I'm happy to put it that way, to just say no. And that's what I'll be talking about.
I couldn't agree more. You know, as an animal control type agency, I'm responsible for overseeing all of the dog bites and cat bites, any animal bite, frankly, that happens in DuPage County. And I oversee even dangerous dog investigations when we have really severe behavior or even deaths of other animals. And so talking about how we are paying attention to body language, letting a dog consent, and trying to reduce the number of frankly bad interactions that are happening with dogs, and sometimes it's not the dog's fault, right? They're put in a tough position. So I love that you're talking about this.
Great. And I will be on March 1st at, I don't know what, 11 a.m., I believe. I'll be talking for 60 to 90 minutes, and then I'll be signing copies of the book if you are so inclined, because when you come in for the $40, you also get automatically a copy of Ask the Dog. I understand there'll be door prizes and a raffle. I think they're raffling me off. I don't really know. I hope not, because that's not worth a lot of money at all. Where are folks, did I miss anything, and where, and how do you register, and where are you located?
Yeah, so we're at 2255 Manchester Road in Wheaton in the west suburbs. Yes, you're right. The event is Sunday, March 1st. It begins at 11 a.m., but doors will open at 10:30. Registration is required in advance, and you can do that at asoundbeginningprogram.com. They've got all of the registration information available on their website. Seating is limited, so I really recommend that if you want to attend this wonderful event, you hop online and take care of that now. And we're so grateful for you and our host organization that the proceeds for this are going to be helping our shelter here. So thank you for that.
No, thank you. I'm all about communicating this message to Ask the Dog. So you're a nonprofit, aren't you?
We don't receive any tax dollars, and so we kind of survive on our fee structure and donations. So yes, we love the community support for what we do.
Well, let me rephrase that for you. You need the community support for what you do. You're right. And I hope to be offering a little bit of that if we fill up the house, and I hope to, with 60 individuals. So thank you very much for allowing me to do this. Again, that website is...
Yeah, it's asoundbeginningprogram.com, and you'll click on their seminars, and you'll click on Ask the Dog, Fostering Success.
All right. Laura Flamian, the administrator for DuPage County Animal Services. Thank you so much. This is the coolest thing ever. I really didn't have time to talk about it. That is agility at the cat show. So you've seen agility on television where the dogs kind of go through an obstacle course. Well, these are cats that'll be doing the same thing at the Lincoln State Cat Club Cat Show on February 21st and 22nd. This is so cool to watch and so much fun. I remember when they first started doing this, and I was at a cat show, and the cat, at that point, the ring, now they have a fencing of some kind up, you know, so the cats can't do what I'm about to describe. So the cat went into the audience and grabbed a tuna sandwich and then continued on the agility course from a person who was just eating a sandwich. That is, again, at the Lincoln State Cat Club Cat Show. That is in St. Charles at the Kane County Fairgrounds. And on Saturday, the 21st, I will be speaking at 1 and 1:45. I hope to see you there. We'll talk to you next week, bright and early.